Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Our main text is Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Reading from the New International Version, the first three verses, Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" God created and thought creation was very important. And within it, there's something that's of a little bit more importance, and that is you. You are an important part of creation because you bear something of a resemblance to the Creator. You bear the image of God. And yes, we have sinful natures as well. You can blame that on Adam and Eve or your parents or take responsibility for it like you should. It's a part of being a person. And so each one of us has both the image of God in us and the sinful nature that works against God's will in our lives. And God thinks each of you is valuable no matter what you think about him. You may not think that there is a supreme being out there. You may not believe that the God of the Bible is that supreme being. No matter what you believe, God still loves you and thinks that you are important. And it is important what you believe or come to believe about him. And so that makes you inherently valuable, that you're capable of being a good person, doing good things, contributing to society in a good way. Each of us has a conscience. We can determine between good and bad. We can make good decisions. And sometimes, of course, we make bad decisions as well, and that accounts for some of the problems that we have. However, when you come to some conclusion about who that God is, you come to the conclusion that you want to serve Jesus and make a decision to follow him, that is what we call being born again, where the Holy Spirit comes to reside within you. And that gives you a new start. You get to reclaim what God intended when he first created you. And suddenly you are empowered to live out his purpose for your life. And that helps us to understand what role we play within creation. Nature, of course, is of lots of importance, but comparatively, human beings are much more important. And if God cares about insignificant birds, then how much more is this concern for each one of us? And so if you follow kind of the logic of God here, if he provides for the birds and you're more important than him, is he going to provide for you? Yes, he is. And if he's going to provide for us, then why in this life do we worry so much? Let me give you some definitions. They're pretty abrupt, but worry is an expression of distrust. It is an unsettling sign of greater personal deficiency. It's an indication of spiritual weakness or faith lacking. It is to say that God is your provider, but to not actually believe it to be true. It is an outward sign of an inner problem. It is to not truly believe God when he says that he will provide or intervene. It is to doubt his ability or his desire to help. In the original Greek, the word worry here admonishes us to not let something prove troublesome, not to let something become a bother to us. Now, it doesn't mean, of course, that we don't show concern towards things that are going on or that we don't plan for the future, but just that we don't misplace such concerns when we're doing that. We're to prioritize things in accordance with God's will, his leading. There are scriptures that talk about the fact that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we need to take care of ourselves, that your health is of value. These things are important, but there's something that's greater. There's something that's more important that's inside of you. And when we think about the spiritual realm, that affects, it almost makes the physical realm almost feel a little bit superficial as we try to live out, you know, within this physical nature, within the world that we have. These surface level needs, sometimes they're so important to us, but sometimes they get in the way of some of the deeper things that God wants to do in our lives, or the more important things that God wants us to do. And sometimes he wants us to set aside our own personal needs for the benefit of other people when emergencies come up, or for even the greater priorities that God has in store for us. And so when does worry become a problem? At what point does a concern become worrisome to us? When does it cross the line from being a legitimate concern to becoming sinful? So let me give you a couple ideas about that. I think a telltale sign of misplaced priorities is when they have a bad effect on your health. If a certain stressor is literally causing you physical pain or discomfort, then it's probably too great of a priority to you. And our bodies often tell us, if we stop for a moment and listen to them, they sometimes tell us something's wrong. And sometimes we get too busy to stop and think about it. This past week, all of a sudden, I had something in my eye, and I know that a bug didn't fly in my eye. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. And a little bit later in the day, it started to cloud up. And I'm like, this is not getting better. What's going on here? And then I started to see flashes of light. And my wife works at an optometrist office, and I asked her about this, and she's like, you need to get that checked out. So I go in to see a doctor, who then sends me to Winnipeg, and I have laser surgery. And if I did not react, what would have happened? Or if I would have waited longer, or if the doctor didn't run those tests quick enough, what would have happened? Would it have been detached? Would I be having trouble, permanent trouble with my vision? And sometimes we need to stop and think, okay, we have these bodies that God has created. What are they telling us? Sometimes they tell us that we need to rest more. Sometimes they tell us we need more exercise. Sometimes they tell us to eat more. Sometimes they tell us to eat less. We need to listen to our bodies sometimes. And if you are worrying to the point of making yourself sick, if you're a person that's prone to ulcers and any kind of stress, then that is a sign that you're not processing your stress very well, that you need to think differently. You got to find a different way to cope with stress, because stress is a part of life. We know it. We live in a sinful world, and stress is going to happen. Things happen, and they affect us. And so sometimes we need to find different ways of dealing with stress. And a good way, of course, is divine intervention, to turn our cares over to God and to ask Him to intervene in the situation. The Bible, which is written quite a long time ago, tells us that worrying does not make life any longer. And modern science tells us that that is true. Worrying actually shortens your life. And so if it leads to various health ailments, then you know that it has gone on for too long or it's going too far. And there's people, you know, you've heard the instruction, the expression worry to death. Sounds pretty extreme, but I think for some people that's kind of a sad reality. They've just let things go on for so, so long without turning to God. You don't want the epitaph on your tombstone to say, here lies someone that worried themselves to death. That doesn't sound very glamorous. Scripture is very clear that at the time of conception, each one of us has a number of days to this earth. Only He knows that number. Each of us has different numbers. And He knew whether we would take care of ourselves or not. He knew what measures we would take, adequate measures, if we would take adequate measures to help us with our health or to make efforts to live longer. He knew what we would do. And yet, those types of things are still in God's hands. God is sovereign. He's in charge. The Creator is presiding over His creation. And He makes those decisions about us. And so in the meantime, we have to live with the stresses of life. And another sign that I think of worry becoming too extreme is if you become infatuated with a particular situation. It's all that you think about. If it's all that you think about, that's not how God wants you to think about it. Do you constantly fantasize about mythical solutions, fixing something that you cannot fix? Does a certain topic or situation, does it engulf your thought life, not allowing you to address other issues as they pop up? Is it something that all you think about? You think about it so much that you don't see the needs of your loved ones or neighbors. You don't intervene because you're so focused on this one problem. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that there will be worry in heaven? Do you think that we'll ever, once we're there, that we'll ever have reason to be troubled again? Absolutely not. And so if there's no worry in heaven and the kingdom of God is in us, then why do we worry about this life the way that we do? I just want to read a few verses for a moment from Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19. Another passage about the kingdom of God. It says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up." What is the kingdom of God? It is about living righteously. Living righteously is not defined in legalistic terms like you follow rules. Oh, that's righteous living. It's not about that. It's not about the earning of salvation. Every society needs rules that we should agree upon that helps to keep the peace, helps us to get along, you know, keeps law and order. But that's not, of course, what our salvation is based on. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, and you've noticed throughout the summer, one of the things that's been fairly common with even the different speakers is the kingdom of God starts where? In our hearts. That's where it starts. And then it affects our outward actions and what we do. And so then how do I know if I'm going to have appropriate actions? Well, I listen to the kingdom of God. I listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And then I know that what I'm doing or how I'm reacting is good and right. And so if we have the Spirit of God within us, we bring the kingdom of God into every situation. And so many people think the kingdom of God is about what happens later on, or the kingdom of God is about what happens in church. The kingdom of God is within you. If you've been born again and you take that experience, you take that spirit into your family, into your home, into your workplace, and you can pick the kingdom of God with you into every situation. And when you do that, that tends to alleviate your worries. Let me ask you this. Are you now living your life the way you want to live it forever? Are you now living life the way you'd like to live it forever? It's not just about what happens after we pass away. It's about the here and now. And so God working in us, though, is somewhat dependent on us. Okay? It's not, God doesn't force himself on us. When you read about revival movements in church history, there's incredible times of God doing things in people's lives, but he doesn't force himself. He reacts to his people as they're obedient to him. There's some misconceptions about revival movements. People think, we just pray enough. If we just pray enough, that's going to fix everything. And it's not about sitting and twiddling your thumbs and waiting for God to fix your problems for you. That's not what brings about revival. What brings about revival in our hearts, in our community, is us living in obedience to Scripture and leading at the Spirit and reaching out to our neighbors when they need help. That's really what brings heaven down to earth. You want to experience heaven? That's what you need to do. And once you do, what comes out of that? What comes out of that is peace and joy. What a great reward for following God. I'm going to read a couple of verses again from Matthew 6. Reading from verse 24 of the New Living Translation, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." Verse 25, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" And so there's a warning here. There's a greater danger just more than just health-related illness. The idea that you can become so enamored by something that it becomes an idol. You can actually treat food and clothing as an idol. In a sense, you worship it instead of its creator. And so that's obviously a sign of misplaced priorities. But it happens, and we're not really aware that we're doing that. And so if food and drink are the most important things to you, that's all you think about, then your life is going to be rocky and shallow. And if fashion is the thing that's of utmost importance to you, then you'll be focused primarily on surface matters, and you may miss some of the more important matters of the heart. Of course, these things are of some importance to us, but when we put too much emphasis on them, that actually leaves us feeling more empty inside and less protected on the outside. And I don't know if that's a paradox or some irony, I don't know, but that seems kind of weird. It is an interesting statement. If you only dwell on the physical, you will only dwell in the physical. When you instead dwell on the spiritual, you will instead dwell in the spiritual. Think about that. If you only dwell on the physical, you will only dwell in the physical. When you instead dwell on the spiritual, you will instead dwell in the spiritual. And so if all you're ever thinking about is surface level things, then your life will be kind of shallow. If you only think about your appearances and things on the outside, then you'll tend to forget about more important things, matters of the heart. If you want to lead a truly fulfilling life, then you need to get to know your Creator. And he wants to share his great ideas for you. And when you align your priorities with His, that helps you to see your life, to see things a little differently. You discover a divine purpose, and you realize why you're here and the richness, not riches, richness that God has in store for your life. You are here for a reason. We continue our reading at verses 28 to 32. From the NIV, it says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown, tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." And so to question God's ability to provide is to lack faith. To doubt his willingness to intervene says something about the amount of faith or weakness in faith that a person has. And I don't want to be insensitive. There are a lot of you, I shouldn't say a lot, but I know there are some of you that are really struggling financially, just being able to afford the necessities of life. And it's really difficult making ends meet. You're working very hard. I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, I don't want to be insensitive to that, but God is still your provider. And if you reach out to him, he will provide for you. In these verses here in Matthew, there's a distinction that's made. It says, unbelievers are fixated like on temporal means, and believers, we should try to instead target topics that are of eternal value. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Brian, he spoke on this. If you weren't in the service, you should check it out online. He did a good job talking about that. But if you don't know your Creator, then you're not going to have your priorities in line with his. And ultimately then, your priorities are probably going to be quite selfish instead. Those who know God, they understand the things of God. They understand not only what awaits them, but what God wants to do in their lives today. And they're not enamored by just the physical realm and the things that tend to distract us. They know about the spiritual realm, and they see the physical existence that we are in. They see that differently. And so I encourage you not to let the topics of food and drink, of clothing, dominate your thought life. Think about other things as well. Exercise self-discipline. Perhaps replace those thoughts with more spiritual ones. Maybe those are times to turn to Scripture and look at the promises of God. Maybe those are times to pray. Ask God, do my priorities need to be rearranged? Write them down. What are the priorities in your life? And say, God, is this list in the right order? Maybe he'll do some shuffling. Maybe you'll need to make some changes. Maybe you'll see some things differently if you consult him as you set your priorities in order there. God is our provider, and he's not hiding. Like, isn't this father that hides the basics of life from his children, right? He's waiting for us to inquire and to put our trust in him, and then he blesses us. He takes care of us. Reading verses 33 and 34, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own." And so I kind of think in this passage, verse 33 is kind of the key verse. If we seek his spiritual kingdom, then the physical one gets taken care of. When we put God's will ahead of our own thinking, we're rewarded by the meeting of our physical needs. And maybe there's two parts to that happening. One might be the realization of what God's will is, and two, our obedience to whatever his instructions are. I don't know if you want to think of it as like prerequisites maybe, but to having our needs met. But when we receive God's instruction and we live it out, we don't really need to concern ourselves with minor things, with trivialities and temporary objects and the things of this world, really. In the original Greek of the New Testament, this verb that's often rendered seeking in English, it can include a variety of approaches. And I thought this was interesting when I was doing some research. It says, you can seek by requesting directly, obviously. You can seek by figuring out or meditating upon something. You can seek by obtaining a direction through discussions or reasoning with someone else. Or it can mean to crave or to strive after something. And it's also, the verb is also in the present continual tense, so it could be translated, so from this day forward, always be seeking. For the rest of your life, seek God's will. Always be seeking his kingdom. His kingdom is this infinite reality that's out there in He reveals it to us in bits and pieces, in stages or phases, as much as our finite minds can handle at a time. And so I encourage you to, no matter what you're going through now, to look to the future. God will provide for you. Don't get bogged down by your earthly circumstances, the temporary cares of this world. And I know that that advice might seem a little easier said than done, right? But no matter what, when you look to God, He has a way of changing your perspective and helping you to see things a bit differently. And maybe as the beauty of eternity is revealed to you piece by piece, you'll start to see the beauty of your own situation now, and you'll change your mind a little bit about it. You'll see God at work when you didn't realize it previously. In conclusion, I'd like to read this passage again. I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase because it almost kind of sounds poetic. I think the wording is really cool. So I'm going to read this again. It says, "You can't worship two gods at once. By loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. The adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. If you decide for God, living a life of worshiping Him, it follows that you won't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than food, than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes that you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered. They are not tied down to a job description. They are careless in the care of God. And you count far more to Him than the birds do. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by doing so? All this time and money that gets wasted on fashion, do you think it really makes that much of a difference in the world? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like them? The best dressed men and women in the country will look shabby beside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen by anyone, don't you think He'll attend to you, take pride in you, and do what's best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can instead respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works, they fuss over these things, but you both know God and how He works, and so you don't have to worry about missing out. You'll then find your everyday human concerns will be met. So give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Let me bow and pray for you. Lord, I thank you for your people that have gathered here today, their desire to be obedient to your word. I pray that you'd reveal your will to them. Lord, if they need to shift their priorities, I pray that you would show that to them. God, I just thank you for their willingness and their strong desire to live for you and to allow to bring that kingdom of God into wherever they go. Lord, I just pray that you would bless us with a sense of your presence in our lives, not just on Sunday morning when we get together and we worship, which is awesome, but God, having that sense of you in our lives, going with us wherever we go, no matter what we're doing. Lord, I just pray that as we follow you, God, we continue to sense your hand upon our lives. I ask this blessing for your people here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.